Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Hey, it's Justin. You know and love us on the Discovering Downey podcast, right? So come hang out with us in person for the finale. Join us for Long Slice Brewing Presents, a celebration of Gord Downey at the Rec Room in downtown Toronto on Friday, July 19th. Craig is coming from Vancouver. Kirk is coming from LA. I'm driving from Vermont. And JD is like walking down the street or wherever he lives in Toronto. Tickets are available now on our website at discoveringdowney.com. And when you get your tickets, that means you can come hang out with us and our very special guest, Patrick Downey. And you can bid on some incredibly cool silent auction items, all while jamming along with tragically hip cover band, The Almost Hip. And most importantly, helping us raise money for the Gord Downey Fund for Brain Cancer Research. Crack open a Long Slice, put on some Gord tunes, take a journey with us on Discovering Downey, and then crack open another Long Slice on July 19th and hang out with us in the Six. I always wanted to sound cool and say that. For more information, follow us on all the socials and visit discoveringdowney.com.
Christmas Day for Edgar. My dad always used to say just after the presents, "Well, it's as far away now as it will ever be." I'm thinking about that as the stewardess cracks the public address system. For those sitting in economy, there's no music for you today.
Welcome, music lovers. Long Slice Brewery presents Discovering Downey.
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to Discovering Downey, an 11-part project with a focus on the music and poetry of Mr. Gord Downey. The late frontman of the Tragically Hip gave to the world an extensive solo discography on top of the Hip's vocal acrobats that wowed us for years. So far, he's released 8 records, 3 of them posthumously. Now listen, you might be the biggest fan of the Hip out there, but have you really listened to these solo records? Because I'm an inquisitive podcaster, I enlisted my friends Craig, Justin, and Kirk, giant fans of the Hip in their own right, to discover Downey with me, JD, as their host. Every week, we're going to get together and listen to one of Gord's records, working in chronological order. We discuss and dissect the album, the production, the lyrics, and we break it down song by song. This week, we're going to be talking about the back half, well, plus 2 songs from the front half of Introduce Yourself. Justin, my friend, how are you doing on this gray fucking day
is it gray there?
In Toronto?
Oh.
Oh, it's terrible all day. Maybe it's because I was wearing sunglasses. Wait a minute.
It was the opposite of that here in beautiful Vermont today. It was a beautiful day. I think it's going to be gray for the rest of the week, though. So whatever you're getting today, we'll get tomorrow.
Oh, that's weather with Justin. We'll be back with Craig and traffic. Remember, news on the fives.
Where in the world is Kirk from Fuccino? how's it going, man?
I'm in Washington, D.C. right now for work in a hotel room. So having some technical difficulties. So my apologies, but things are good. Excited to continue the conversation.
Craig, what say you?
Things are going well. A little tired after a night out watching the Sadies last night. So they played a small venue downtown Vancouver, yeah, and got to see the boys rock out. And it was a pretty awesome show. A big banner of Dallas in the background, and some touching moments. But mostly they just
very
rocked.
Cool. I haven't been to a live show in a little while now.
Super cool.
All right, fellas, before we get into the music, I want to talk to you about an email that I got from an organization called Lake Fever Wilderness Company. Basically, the gist of this email is that the Lake Fever Wilderness Company has submitted all the paperwork required to City Hall to get Riverdale Park East here in Toronto mere footsteps from my home, renamed Gord Downie Park. Saw an article on BlogTO.
Wow.
And then they also gave us a couple other links to stories. But I'm hoping that our little podcast here, that people who listen to it will hear this and we can build some awareness around this somehow. Anything you want to say about this or comment about this? Are you jealous of Nate in your town?
Yes. That sounds like a great cause. And for what it's worth, I love the song Lake Fever. So,
right?
Yeah. That's whatever we can do to help, man. That sounds great.
Sounds very cool.
I'm jealous. Do we get Bryan Adams Avenue?
You probably already have it, don't you?
I don't know. Maybe in England.
Really? There's not a... Mind-blowing to me. One of the top songs of all time in terms of played. Everything I do for you. Right? Oh. Yeah. But this is not a Bryan Adams podcast. This is a podcast called Discovering Downie, and let's pick it up where we left off last time. That puts us on side two of the first record.
I wrote for this particular song was Pensive. The music that backed these, I guess, awkward lyrics is hopefully a good description of them. This pensive feeling vibe and this drum buildup, and he just, I mean, just explains it like I remember it and could feel all of those crazy, stupid emotions and could just totally wrap my head around and embrace, you know, the message that he was writing, you know, a piano forward tune again. You know, I think we talked about that the last one. I love the vocal and the background that starts coming in, you know, echoing essentially the line. And then the last line is just classic. So, yeah, it's a brilliant tune in my assessment.
Yeah, what I liked about it is that it really instantly just takes you to a place in your own life, whether the story is one you connect with or not. It takes you back to, you know, when you were in your teens or whatever. And that's what I appreciated about this song. Another thing before the echoing vocal you're talking about, I just noticed today for the first time, very, very faintly in the opposite channel is something that sounds like a meowing cat. I think it's a person, but it's almost this little, it's so subtle. It's almost like one of those hearing tests you get where there's a little beep and you're like, did I hear that? But I listened a second time and there's something that comes in about 30 seconds before the more noticeable vocal on the other side. So
I did not pick up on that. I listened to it today too, actually. I mean, this girl sounds cool as hell, you know, like he says in the song, 6 years older. So it's definitely, you know, she's his girlfriend, but he may not be her boyfriend from what I'm picking up on, you know, like, and I certainly related to the, you told me off.
And could she be responsible for hooking Gord on reading? Cause he wanted to be like her.
Oh yeah.
Interesting thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Again, like I did feel a little awkward listening to this song.
Let's move to the next track on the record. You're Ashore.
Well, this is probably the song I have the least to say about. It's maybe the least memorable for me. I think probably it's the type of song that if it's about you, it's probably maybe a bit of an inside joke, or I'm not really sure what it's about, who it's about. Yeah, I appreciated the gentleness in his voice. And yeah, I was glad that it was the length that it was, because it was not my favorite. What'd you guys think?
I loved it.
Me too.
I mean, it's the shortest song on the album. It's a minute 30. The lyrics are simple. It's, you know, essentially you're ashore repeated and a few little straight lines. But the brilliant in the very beginning is, you know, he's strumming. And then it's let slow it down, I believe is what he says. And I think especially amongst this body of work, amongst this album, like you know, there's a lot of piano, there's a lot of synth, there's even some beats and things of that nature. And it was kind of nice to just get a little short acoustic ditty, in my opinion. But you know, I'm a sucker for that. That's just like back in the 80s, right? Every metal band had its little ballad. So I love the ballads. So
yeah, I don't know who it's about, but it's an earworm. I find myself humming the tune quite often, and there's only a few words in the song, so it's not like, you know, like you said, Craig, the lyrics aren't, nothing about it is really memorable, but it does get into your brain, and it's an easy little like you could just walk through the park and just sing that all day. But
yeah,
I mean, it's a minute 30 and that's about right.
Yeah, it's about right. It's interesting you say that you couldn't determine who that's about, because I so far have really like sucked at that game listening to the first record. So as we go into the second record, Gord lobs a softball at me, and even I know that this next track, Love Over Money, is about the fucking Tragically Hip.
Damn right it is.
Who wants to go first here? Kirk?
I would say, JD, I've had a similar, you know, a similar experience in trying. I have little parentheses in my notes of who I think the note might be or the song might be too. And I, you know, I can't even get specifics. I just write like brother, you know, question mark, things of that nature. So this one was obvious. What I loved about it as well, and I think I might have mentioned it on the last or the first album. It's such a pop. It's like a synth pop tune is what I have. And this is going to sound weird, but for whatever reason, when I hear the song, I think of that SNL skit where you've got like Jimmy Fallon and they're all playing like, and they're doing that little, you know, they do the little dance.
Oh, right, that right, right. Pop
feeling.
Yes.
You know, when I heard the song, like by the second time, I couldn't get that skit out of my brain. So, but just beautiful lyrics talking about the band. So direct and so loving and so to the point. To me, a absolute brilliant Gord Downie song. I mean, you know, just wonderful, wonderful song.
The moment he said the line, "We played to no one and then no one plus one," I knew it was about the Hip, because I remember in 1996, a band I played in, we went across Canada two times that year, self-booked tours, and we ended up in Thunder Bay on one of the tours, and we played in a tiny club called Crocs and Rolls, which is sort of like a legendary club in Thunder Bay. A guy named Frank Lafredo was the booker there, who was kind of like a legend in music across Canada. And anyway, Frank, the first night we played and we didn't draw much of a crowd, and he said, you know, don't worry, guys. The, you know, the first time the Tragically Hip played here, they played to no one. And then they played a second night and they got a couple more, and the next night, and, you know, they played, I think, three nights in a row on an early tour. And so that made us feel a little better. And he felt bad about the draw. So when we came back, he found us a gig at another venue for the drive back. So
nice.
That's the memory that comes up for me. And also the other thing, the Queen's Jubilee. So the reference to the playing to the deafening the husband of the Queen, that would be that show, which I looked up. Yeah, they played Poets. And interesting enough, in that version of Poets, he changes the lyrics. He censors himself a little bit, I noticed. So for the Queen, he changed bare-breasted to bare-chested. And there was one other change I can't recall.
Yeah, it was a great performance. I remember seeing that. I wish that I had looked it up just to bring the memory of it back, but I that line stuck out to me. I remember seeing that performance.
And he used the laminar flow line as well in that version of Poets.
Oh. Mm. That I didn't remember. Wow.
Which ended up in Coke Machine Glow on Every Irrelevance.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously the bond between those five guys is unbreakable, and this song it's funny too. You know, I laughed at this song the first time that I heard it and heard the lyrics. You know, we missed death and marriage and a birth and I did notice the words Hotel Worth, just kind of a preview to an upcoming thing that is a song that actually got a lot of airplay here locally a few years ago. But yeah, yep, it did. It was on the radio two or three times a day for a couple months here.
The Love Over Money line made me also think about the way that they split their royalties. And I know I'm not sure if it was like a 20% all the way around. That would be my guess, but often the lyricist will take 50 and then the people who wrote the music take the other 50. So, you know, maybe it's not that simple, but the fact that all five of them were, as far as I know, listed on all the credits sort of, over their career, that's something that drives so many bands apart, is that fight over, I wrote this, I wrote this. And like, even in the band I spoke about a while ago, like we had some really crazy discussions around royalties and who should get what. And, you know, in my mind, I've always been a equal share guy. I don't care if you're the drummer, if you're, you wrote your part, that's just, then again, I've not like I'm making a ton of money in music or anything, but it was nice to see them stick together so long and the same five guys. Like, right. What other band can you think of that released that many albums with the same lineup?
It's got to be a very, very, very short list.
Like, there may be some three pieces, but a five-piece band. Think of all the potential for conflict and for, one guy leaving it. No one.
There's some like sleuthing, some sonic sleuthing for you listeners out there. Send us an email at discoveringdowny@gmail.com with bands that have a lineup that was consistent with at least 15 records released. Are there any? Is there a database that you could just plug that into and get it from?
No idea. I mean, Aerosmith would be close, but they had that lineup change in the mid-career.
Right.
For one album anyways.
When Joe Perry left, right? Joe Perry and Brad Whitford.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next track is You, Me, and the Bees.
Kept us tight. We talked about them nearly every day for over 40 years now. And we talked about other stuff nearly every day too, with the bees you never could lose. Oh, baby, the Bruins got the conversation going. Oh, baby, conversation serious as night. Some so scary and deep. With constant concern, I can't help her, and I cannot help her, and the trading of Joe Thornton. The winning, the losing, the mistakes, the slumps, the streaks, the changes about what really changes. Oh, baby, the Bruins got the conversation going. Conversation serious as night. Some so scary. Sleep. The
Do I go 2 for 2 here when I say this is an ode to the Boston Bruins?
Yeah.
And its ability to connect with your family, particularly in this case, to Gord's brother, Patrick.
That sounds about right to me.
Take us away.
Took me right to my childhood as well, and a good friend of mine. So my friend Blair and I, we played a game called Hall Hockey in my parents' basement with, you know, those Fisher Price bowling sets. We take one of the pins and a ball, and we would just hit the ball back and forth. And if you hit the wall, you score. And we had this ongoing game every time he came over, and we would, you know, do the play by play. And we were both Oilers fans, so you weren't allowed to be the Oilers. So you had to choose another team. And I'll never forget the Quebec Nordique. If you were the Nordique and you know, you'd be Stastny, and then you'd pass over to Michel Goulet. And as soon as Michel Goulet got the puck, you know, you were getting a shot in the balls every single time. I don't know what it was, but, and then Blair became a little bigger than me and started winning every single game. And then we aged out of that game. But anyways, that's where it took me. Yeah. What about you guys?
Oh man, this was me and my old man playing pond hockey. Yeah. I loved the song, and I could tell right away that the percussion was a hockey stick scraping on the ground. I loved it. You know, again, I laughed in this song several times, and the line about the trading of Joe Thornton, and you know, it's,
yeah,
I don't know. Like I'm so excited to get to meet Patrick Downey, because it sounds like these guys just had fun the whole time. This song is that relationship, and you know, and as a Habs fan, I freaking hate the Bruins, but I get it. You know, I totally get it. I really liked how Gord's voice was very staccato in this. He was really kind of a minimalist with, you know, he didn't drag any of the lines out. The Bruins kept us tight, you know, like just very on the beat and kind of not screwing around. Or maybe this is screwing around for him, I guess. But, you know, he turned the word Bruins into Bruins, just one syllable. And I don't know, it felt like a different approach lyrically or sonically, I guess.
Yeah, that phrasing really matched the style of the song too. That sort of, like the percussion that Kirk was talking about, it just, yeah, had that staccato feel. And
the phrasing, thanks for bringing that up, Craig. I had just recently watched the Juno Award tribute. Dallas Green and Sarah Harmer and Kevin Hearn, I believe it was. And I believe it was the Junos. And Gord, you guys both mentioned like the way he phrases, like the way he takes his lyrics and will, you know, enunciate them to fit into the line. It is like no one else, right? And then when you watch this tribute and you see her singing Introduce Yourself and trying to, you know, keep the cadence that Gord has, I guess that's a good way to describe it. There's a unique cadence to it. So I was blown away by that. If you guys haven't seen it, you must watch it. And then when they go into Bob Cajun, and the harmonies are just incredible, but like goosebumps, you know, it's so incredible. And then especially when she comes in with that harmony, but to hear her do the phrasing was wonderful as well, because that has to be difficult.
Yeah. It's what we love about him, right? His ability to just twist and turn and put round pegs into square holes, or square pegs into round holes, probably is more difficult, in fact. Snowflake has a haunting piano line that works well with Gord's almost pensive vocal take. What do you think of Snowflake's, Kirk?
Yeah, melancholy was my note. Again, the piano is used heavily, you know, throughout this whole album, but on this song in particular. My guess at who it is to is just a girlfriend is all I wrote. The other note that I wrote was the woman leaned in to say goodbye, but I don't remember his name. And just the where is Gord going with that? You know, I wondered. I wrote that down as a note. So, but just again, a fully emotional song.
Yeah, I wondered if that was almost like a reference to maybe his fading memory.
Yeah.
I was a bit puzzled by that too.
Craig.
Yeah. It was a very eerie song and I really loved it. I love the jangling sounds. It gave it like a really eerie feeling. Like you're in a haunted ballroom of some ancient house. Like I just picture this as a movie, when I'm listening to it. The vocal delivery makes me wonder if it was one of the later tracks that he did. And I really love the chorus and the reverb they put on, like just like in A Natural, there is a ton of reverb, like way too much reverb, but it works really well. It's so powerful when they do it on this album, not something I would normally like. Yeah. His voice is gorgeous in the song. A lot of feeling to the piano playing as well by Kevin. Yeah. And again, I had a note about phrasing, when he says my name and when he says goodbye, it's kind of rushed. And it made me wonder if it was just a lack of time, just, you know, doing it in one take and not worrying too much about how it came off. But again, that's what we love about
energy too.
Yeah.
Craig, you sing when you play, takes a lot of energy. So that's one thing that I wondered throughout this album in particular, when, like, if you're just, say you're looking at it on your phone and you're listening and you bring up the lyrics and you're questioning some of the enunciations, I guess, of some of the words, but that's Gord and that's, him making it work for that particular song. So, and sometimes different than what the lyrics are written as, you know, I don't know if that's just typo type stuff or if that's on purpose.
So I actually, I don't know. My thought on this was that maybe this was something that he was remembering from his childhood and maybe with an older sibling or a relative or somebody, you know, that he knew well. The thing that stood out to me more was his recollection of the lake and of the house and describing everything about the scene, and that this woman is somebody, an acquaintance of whoever he's walking down the road with, and they're going to see her. Cause there's the line, she told me to go explore the quiet rooms. So this is, all right, kid, go check out the house. We got stuff to talk about, you know. And I actually somehow connected this to the, you know, affluent woman in the video for It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken. My head kind of went to that music video, and I don't know why or where that happened, but it just felt to me like it, that type of house and that type of meeting. And, you know, and then at the end of that video, Gord leans down and whispers something into her ear, and then they walk out. I don't really know why that's where I went, but it's sort of a mishmash of two different things. Yeah. So like there's the song that we'll get to called The Lake. When I first heard that, I thought that was about the lake, but now I think this song might be about the lake. I don't know.
Just the fact that when he writes his lyrics, like, yeah, it's inspired by something, but it may even have a different meaning than what it was inspired by for him. And I don't think he really intends for the listening audience to do anything other than interpret it for their own selves or application. You know, I never got the feeling like he'd be offended by that.
Yeah. I can't agree with you more. Again, that's one of these great things about this performer that we all love. You know, we can get behind that. The next song is called A Better End, and it makes me sad. Lonesome for Gord, I suppose. How does it make you feel, Justin?
Yeah, the same. I mean, it sounds a lot like the Man Machine Poem album. There's some melancholy in a lot of those songs. And, you know, this album came together in a different context, but it's, you know, musically a lot similar to, or very similar to a lot of the songs on there. And there are connections with the lyrics, the line for treasure or worse, that's in, is that in Man or Machine? One of the others. But, you know, where God walks with persons, even the maybe doomed, that line crushes me every time I hear it.
Repeat it.
Where God walks with persons, even the maybe doomed. You know, there's an end to that to that sentence, right? There's a finality in that one. And I don't know. I don't know who it's about. The song is called A Better End, but he says bitter. Only at the very end of the song does it say the better end. So maybe there's some letting go. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. I have a description written as dark melancholy, but then my final note was a plea. And that to me, as I think you had mentioned, Craig, you know, maybe it was to a family member. And I kind of felt like it was to all family members and all of his like close friends. Like, this is the letter, like, this is it. And so I just wrote a plea, question mark. And the beat, I think we talked about this before, you know, it had the clock feeling to me throughout. And then, like you had mentioned, Justin, you the title's A Better End, the lyric that he uses is Stay to the Bitter End, but it's Stay to the Bitter End. He's put out so much energy at this point, you know, because this is when they've recorded this, you know, it's 2017. They've done the tours. He's done the Secret Path stuff. Like, he knows what's coming. He knows the bitter end. He gave everything he could. And this is like his, like, hey, somebody give me some energy for, you know, here for a better end.
Yeah. I wondered if this was a close family member, maybe, like, you know, saying to stay with me until the bitter end. Really, yeah, this was an emotional song, but it's also the type of song that's going to keep bringing me back to this album. I love this song. I found that, again, another powerful chorus with that big reverb sound, and the way he belts out songs like this and Snowflake and in the choruses is a real strength of this album. And yeah, just a very powerful. I had a note. I would be interested to hear a heavy version of this song, like a full band version. Yeah, but yeah, haunting piano. It gave me Secret Path vibes. It felt very much like musically could have been on Secret Path.
Wow. He hits a lot of different spots in his range too. He sings very deeply and then he sings very high. There's a lot of, you know, he's probably in three octaves or maybe four during the song. Probably three.
Yeah. So when I hear this song, I think of it, I think of an LP, like an old LP, like a 72, you know, RPM record. And I picture it being played on my grandparents' couch-sized hi-fi. it sounds old. It sounds authentic.
It sounds like a needle.
You know, the indie rock.
On the vinyl, right?
It sounds like which, sorry?
It sounds like the needle on the vinyl. It's just.
Yeah.
It's you, and then you got that, the dining room or whatever recording that's going on in the background. And then it just sounds like they have the actual, you know, the needle and the vinyl, that static sound going. It's brilliant. It's a little soft guitar. It's a sweet song. It really is. It's a sweet song.
Yeah. And the way he sings it too, it's almost like a bit of a shaky vocal, like a bit of a warble to his voice, which maybe they added an effect to give it that vinyl quality to it. But I think maybe it's just his performance. And when I say shaky, I mean in a deliberate way. I talked last week about how I can't think of any singer who has as many qualities to his voice as Gord. And he does it better than anyone. You know, he had power from early on, but then he developed different subtleties. And when he gets into an album like Secret Path and he's singing sort of in character, he can just go into all these different places depending on the emotion of the song. And another note about Nancy is, first of all, I'm guessing it's about a sister. I didn't actually look up the names of his sisters, but that's just my guess. I liked how it talked about the beginning, the middle, and the end, and Gord forever being the storyteller. And he's always thinking in terms of story. Just a little nugget I picked up. And the conversation at the beginning, too, when they're just starting to hit record, he's talking about his cufflink.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It is. It's really good. And I think on first listen, it would have been bottom third for me. And now it's firmly somewhere in the middle third. Like, it hasn't cracked top third for me, but it's moved up for sure.
I
feel like this album gets better as it goes on. I actually prefer the second half.
That's fair.
I think at first I really enjoyed the first half more, maybe because I was really preparing for that first half for our pod, but I love the second half.
Yeah.
I actually very much agree with that. I think for me, it starts to really get good at You're Ashore. And like I said, it's a kind of a forgettable song, but the tone sort of changes.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Well, we are at the last song of the first side, the remarkably upbeat Think My About Us.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Think about us, about making your get on your tiptoes, about holding and never letting go. I'm thinking about us, thinking for a place to be alone, forever maybe too much to ask. Kisses still feel forever, no kisses. I'm thinking about us, but it doesn't help a bit. It doesn't help do a thing, and it never did. We're forever apart.
This song is brilliant for me from the first listen to the critical listens in the middle to listening again just recently before just the way it made me feel, the swagger it had, the message it had, that just incredible descending piano line. It's up there for me. It's really, really, really up there. Love this tune.
I agree. This is a masterful song, really. It's just, it comes at a place on the album where you really need something that's a little kind of cute is the word I'll use. And you've got that little piano melody that almost just sounds like a finger exercise you would do if you were learning how to play piano. And some really cool sounds on the synth, or maybe it's a theremin, but I'm pretty sure it's a synth. I also had a note that the drums enter in an interesting way. The bass and drums come in just maybe a spot you're not quite ready for. And just like a playful song that I really enjoy, just super catchy. I wish the world could hear this music. Like, I wish more people would give this a chance. because it should be Gord's work. I mean, maybe this is my thesis for the end of this whole thing, but Gord's work should be appreciated. Like Josh even said, like they're both up, they're both equal. They're both amazing.
Yeah. I had the word super catchy exactly the same in my notes. And I really don't have a lot of other notes about this song, but I can't stop listening to it. I know that. And you're right, Craig, it came at the right time. In the sequencing, it was needed in this spot.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get heavy, that, right?
Yeah. And it's going to get heavy again.
Yep.
That's
really heavy.
I gained access to some valuable experience today when I was preparing for this recording, because it's the first time that I've flipped the record over and had to tackle the final five songs that we ever get to hear from Gord Downie, or so we thought at the time. We didn't know there was going to be posthumous releases.
Right.
We knew he wrote this right before he passed. So either way, it's fucking heavy. Craig, when you think of The Road, do you think of that as heavy?
Wow, The Road, this song destroys me. Again, there's a bit of a theme on the album in a few songs about the road, about missing out on life events, on, you know, the sacrifice of, you know, being a touring musician, you know, a dream that I had when I was young and it didn't work out, and, you know, thankful for the life I have. And, you know, I'm sure Gord was as well, but man, like there had to be some really tough times. Being out away from your family all the time and missing things. And anyways, this song is so good. And the thing I want to say about this is when the drums come in, there's no hi-hat. It's just sort of kick and snare. And that space really sets the mood for this song. Along with, you know, the piano, of course. And there's one line I want to point out: the machines are somewhat suitable now. You know, is that the hospital machines? Is it a reference to Man Machine Poem? I'm not sure, but this song like depresses me almost as much as the book The Road, which destroyed me when I was a young parent. I wasn't young, but my son was young. And if you know Cormac McCarthy's The Road, it is absolutely devastating. It is a book that took me, well, I've never gotten over it really. And the movie as well. I watched the movie and it took me about 6 months to watch the movie. I had to watch it like a little bit at a time when I was in the right headspace. And it is, if you haven't read, it's maybe don't, but it's incredible. But this, yeah, if you name something The Road, it's probably going to destroy me.
So I had a bit of an awakening about 3 years ago when, in May of 2021, my wife had something that she had to do at work late at night, or, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever. And she couldn't be home to make dinner. And it was like a Tuesday or something. I don't know. And she messaged me during the day and said, you need to be home and make Evelyn dinner tonight. Evelyn's our daughter. And at the time she was, almost four. And I got home and I realized, holy shit, I've never made dinner for my daughter before. I was working 80 hours a week and I was missing everything. And my wife had an Instagram account for our daughter. And that was the only way that I was keeping up. I lived in the same house, but I wasn't in the same family. You know what I mean? And yeah, this song brings all that back and made a big life change. That very night, I sent a long message to my boss and said, we got to talk tomorrow, but I'm going to get it all out right now. Cause if I don't say it now, I'm not going to say it. And I told him I'm done at the end of the year. I'll stick with you for my commitment through this year, but I'd put 10 years into my job and missed everything in that 10 years. Give Gord another 3 decades on top of that. I don't know who the song's about and I guess it doesn't matter, but obviously it matters, but yeah, I really identified with the missing everything. And even going back to the song about, what is it? Love Over Money, about the band, you know, we missed funerals and births and all the stuff. And yeah, that's me. I've been there, man. I still, to some degree, am there a little bit, but yeah, I missed my daughter's first 4 years of her life.
Everyone knows in this group here, I'm on the road all the time. I'm talking to you from a hotel room in Washington, D.C. And so, I mean, Justin, I think this is actually a letter to the road and a letter to everyone that he's been on the road with, including his wife, his part, you know, his kids, his bandmates. It's that, you know, that's that life you choose, you know, whether it's a traveling musician, whether it's a traveling salesman, whether it's a, you know, a producer, and it's tough. But when you're not on the road, if you are a road person, it's you're, you know, jittery, you're nervous. But how do you give to your family and to yourself and to your job and to your art? And he wouldn't have been able to do that without the road. So, but, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. We mentioned this about another song here, and this one I wrote was also a song that could have been on Secret Path, was a note for me. But yeah.
Yeah. But musically, just, yeah.
Again, we there's not enough hours in the day, right, lads, to just talk about the amazing insight and that we have it here, you know, to listen to watch, to read, to just beautiful.
Well, there's that point where, you know, you're young and full of energy and you've got these huge goals and then you start to achieve them. And then at the same time, you have this other life going on behind the scenes that has always played second fiddle to that. And then you realize at some point you're too deep into the pursuit to stop now, but that this other life that was didn't even exist when you started has now taken the spot, you know, as number one on your pecking order. And how the hell do you make that change without destroying everything that you've created, you know?
Yep. Oh, you are the bird.
Yeah. It's a slow and lovely song, right? What do you think about it, Kirk?
To me, this was a letter. It seemed like a letter to a sibling, right? You became the bird. It made sense. It starts getting heavy after a while, right? When we break, I mean, we talked about it with the last week when we talked about the first one and how emotional it was. And, you know, here we are, you know, however many songs in, and you stop. And like you said, you know, JD, it was like, these are the last five tunes. And it's almost hard to embrace and think about without just getting, you know, overwhelmed. I think it is. But I think largely because of the love we have for, you know, what Gord Downie has done solo and with the hip and in jazz as a human. So, yeah, just, you know, another note was, again, I think I mentioned it earlier, just lyrics that are written different than what is being sung. And I didn't know if that was on purpose. I think I mentioned that. And I didn't know if it was something Gord was, you know, trying to do on purpose, or, you know, it's probably nothing. It's probably just what was written and what was sung. You know, he probably had it written down as such, and just, like we do when you have a script in front of you, you have your brain has already chosen what the next word's going to be. So anyway,
I noticed that this shared a lot of similarities with Spoon from the first half, where he talks about help being the only reason why we're here. You know, you help others. And, you know, the child in the song Spoon is, I guess, tasked with the same thing. I don't know if task is the right word, but, you know, this is a common thread throughout the album. And this lyrically shares a lot with that song.
Yeah, I agree, Justin. That was my only real note on this song was that, you know, it's the only reason we're here. And that seems to be like, yeah, like yeah. If I had to break down this album into one message that would be, I mean, other than like a goodbye and a, you know, a love letter to his close ones. That is like the summation of this album. I also thought probably about a child, this song. And also there's the line about, he was the bird, he passed it down, you want to help people out. Yeah. So, you know, he's referencing not only the person he's talking to, but someone, maybe another family member, a grandfather, or someone who's passed down that quality that he respects.
There's one of my mentors, I kind of think of him as a father figure. His name is John Adamson. He was a, you know, very bottom level race car driver around these parts. And he and my father were about the same age, and they were friends. And I started hanging out with John when I was 13 or 14 years old, trying to learn how to work on race cars. And there was one night he got pushed off the racetrack, and he's, you know, this massive 6'6", 300-pound guy. And he comes barreling out of the car and climbs up to the top of the racetrack and gives the driver that wronged him the double bird. So he became the Bird Man that night. That was his, nickname. And so everybody calls him Bird. And, you know, I thought, wouldn't that be silly if he passed his nickname down to me somehow, you know, cause he doesn't, all of his kids are girls, and I'm kind of like his sort of son. I don't think that's going to happen, but I know the song isn't made to laugh, but I laughed thinking about that.
That's a nice memory though.
Yeah. He's still with us. He's still with us, flipping people off all the time. Yeah.
I love that.
The lake.
Always stared at the lake for my entire life. I saw something today, the love of my life. The lake has always been between the sun and me. Rather than blocking it, it brings it to me. On a silver eagle trail, sparkles and dances. All the warmth and calm of a hand to my Lake Ontario, the love of my life, you are well
Yeah, this one's a fucking tearjerker to me. So proceed with caution on this one. Yeah. Justin?
Yeah. You know, I kind of mentioned it before that I thought that this song was about Lake Ontario, you know, which has been such a constant theme throughout Gord's entire career with the hip and with the solo stuff. And there's so many references to the lake, but this song is not about the lake. This song is about his daughter, Willow. I mean, that's right at the end of the song. I realized today, you are Lake Ontario, the love of my life, you are Willow. And then he does this fantastic call and answer thing with his own, you know, backup vocals saying Willow over and over again. And it's like, wow, this one is something. It's a beautiful song. Oh, it's great. Just gorgeous. And yes, he does describe the lake or a lake, but all these same qualities could be about your child. And man, it's a crusher.
Very astute observation, Mr. Justin. That's, I think, spot on. As you mentioned, you know, it's obviously, and to compare the two is that there's no disservice in that. He loves them both dearly. So I loved how the keys on this made it feel like you were on the lake. Like you listen to the song and you feel like you're floating in, you know, in a boat, a canoe, whatever, on the lake, and you hear the lake in that song. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
You know, I grew up on the water. Lake Champlain is, they call it the sixth great lake, and that's, I can see it out the window. And my family had a camp on a little lake, Halls Lake. And my wife grew up on a lake in Ohio, Guilford Lake, and we go there 3, 4, 5 times a year. We're headed there next week. And she also came to Vermont working at a summer camp for, I think, 7 summers on Lake Fairley, which is a gorgeous resort area. And so on first hearing this lake or hearing the song, The Lake, and probably the first 10 times I heard it, I was like, man, this is, I can see it. And then I picked up on the Willow thing after, you know, on my 11th listen, I guess. And I was like, oh no, this is something completely different. But if it is just about the lake, whew, it's just as devastating and lovely.
Yeah. I also grew up near a lake. Our house in Peachland, which my parents still live in, it overlooks Okanagan Lake, which is a very large lake. Yeah. It just brings back memories, and it is maybe my favorite spot on earth. Right across the lake from where we live is a small island. You know, there's no roads, there's no power, there's no development on the other side of the lake. And it's just a place that we would boat to when I was a kid and try to get over there every summer. And it's just, you know, this song takes me there. And also, you know, with the mention of his daughter at the end and, you know, you're the love of my life. And it's just... Ugh.
It's gorgeous. Kirk?
Again, we've said it already, you know, these last 5 songs they're crushers. It's like it was really hard to listen to them in succession. Like I really needed to stop, you know. These last two, far away and blurred, I, you know, my space that I left for what is supposed to be my guess of who it is, who the song is to, the letters to, is blank. And it is blank because to me it could be anyone. Maybe it was obvious to one of you guys, but I really felt like it was almost like a letter to everyone. You know, we smile, we're all that we've been through, you know, up and down for sure, onwards and upwards, up close, far away, and blurred. The tempo changes in this song are amazing. It goes into a swing almost during the chorus. Again, just the instrumentation and the combination of what, you know, obviously not just Gord and Kevin, but, you know, the others that contributed as well. Just add, I think, to each one of these letters, as it were, you know, as they started out. What'd you think about Far Away and Blurred, Craig?
I really love this song. Another strong song, you know, on the second half of this album. And I almost wondered if maybe it could be another touring song, or maybe he's talking about traveling with his family. Great melody. And I agree with what you said, Kirk, when it changes tempo halfway through the song and the drums come in with that slow beat and the echo, the vocals are echoing. And I found that part very powerful. And it's like, again, I just can't get over the brilliance of his work. It is like so emotional. And there's this like guitar pattern going on that's really, really cool in the background as well. And yeah. And Justin, you?
Yeah, I guess I'm echoing what you guys have said. It's just it's a little bit upbeat for a hot minute there, and again comes at a place where you need it. Yeah, it's lovely. It's a guy who's friggin' dying and telling everybody how much he loves them and that he always has, whether you're in view or not, right? Yeah.
The passion in his voice, in the vocal, is just so palpable and so, it just, I mean, wrenching, but, you know, almost in a, just again, another reminder of just how amazing every part and ounce of the art that comes out of this guy is just incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. JD, what did you have anything to add for this one?
I don't know if I could get anything out right now if I tried.
It's a tough one.
I think voice in the verses, I've got written down that it's playful and painful at the same time. It builds. The chorus is obviously, yes, you know, excellent. As powerful a Gord voice as we've heard in you know, almost any song on this record. We get more of that in later records that we'll discuss in future episodes. But yeah, it's a great song, but it's the second to last song. And The North is a really powerful way to end a record.
Hello, boys. Way up in the north, on the western side, James Bay. With a smile and suggested not dying today, and you taught me more than they ever would, ever could. Hey, 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 hey. Forget things for a while. Let's turn our face.
faces to the sun and get whatever warmth there is in the unnoticed world, the misunderstood world, undescribable world, the interested anyone. Turn our faces to the sun and get whatever warmth there is.
Call back to Secret Path in the Bridge. But overall, it's an interesting tracking decision. It can't be a coincidence, right, Justin?
No, of course it's not. It's a reminder. It's like, you know, he spent a good portion of that final show in Kingston reminding everybody to pay attention and to keep paying attention. And that's exactly what this song is. Yeah, I did Secret Path, but keep going forward, keep talking about it, keep moving, keep changing, keep trying to figure this out. You know, I don't know if we, I don't think we've said this on air, but when we first started talking about this album, there, I mentioned to you guys in our group chat that I thought this was, some of the songs on this album were like a stream of consciousness. And I think, I know that there's the video of them recording this song. And I know that it's not a stream of consciousness, but I think when he was writing this song, what he wrote down is whatever came to his head first. And well, I'm going to find a song to put it to, and I got to get this message out. I don't care if it's rhymes or makes sense musically or whatnot. It's, this has to be said again and again and again and again, and good on him.
Yeah. So he makes the reference to, you know, a place west of James Bay, which would be Ottawapiskat, which of course the Hip have the song about.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this song is either about or to Joseph Boyden, the author who at the same time Secret Path was released a book called When Jack. I didn't mention him on the Secret Path episode only because there is some controversy. You can look it up if you're interested, but calling his roots into, you know, question, you know, people questioning that he may not be in fact Indigenous. So, you know, that's definitely something you can kind of look into yourself. Joseph Boyden is famous for a book called 3 Day Road. And just an interesting little thing that I came across about a week ago was a story related to this. So this story, 3 Day Road, is about from just, I haven't read the book, but I've read a different story about a sniper in World War I named Francis Peganagabo. And he was nicknamed Peggy, and he has more kills than any sniper in North America. And his story is relatively unknown, and it's a really fascinating story. And, I was reading a short story about that last week, and then made this discovery about the connection to Joseph Boyden. And I highly encourage you to check out a story called Peggy. There's actually a podcast too by CBC called This Place, which is 150 years of Canadian history told by Indigenous voices. And the episode on Peggy is incredible.
The line, "Canada, we should have never called Canada," I thought was pretty bold as well to put out there. As you guys all had been mentioning, you know, obviously when he had addressed the crowd, you know, at several of the shows and several of his interviews. So I think that's bold, but expected. So I think we all appreciate that he would go out there to this level.
Yeah, that was definitely a callback to that statement in the last show that he made to the Prime Minister. And I always really admired that. And I always wondered what it would be like if an American artist did the same thing. You know, like a high profile of Bruce Springsteen or someone went out and said something like that. Just the absolute division that would ensue. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was gonna say the Dixie Chicks are a good example of it.
Yeah.
Happening. So but yeah.
Or the opposite of that, Lady Antebellum,
right,
who's then sued the person that they stole their name from. Yeah.
Well, fellas, it's time to ask the question. Will you be keeping this record in your rotation?
I'm going to say not all the time. And it's got nothing to do with the music. It's the subject. It's the heaviness of it. It's, I don't want to be down. There are some songs on this record that are friggin' awesome. They're all very good, but you know, there's some songs that certainly fit into the hip like catalog.
Sure. And you can add them to your mixtape, right?
Exactly. And that's probably how I'll consume them. But this is going to be something that I listen to once every couple of years, maybe.
Yeah. It's a commitment. Yeah, I was just going to say it's a commitment. So I would answer very similarly to what Justin said. It's for this particular purpose of this podcast, it was heavy listening every time you went through it. Definitely some tunes I want to keep hearing regularly, but it's not something that I would have on regular rotation like I would some of the others that have definitely been fantastic, in my opinion.
I agree with you guys. I definitely will come back to this album, considering I gave it, you know, it took me 6.5 years just to give it a first listen. I'm definitely not going to wait that long, but I think I'll just have to be in the right frame of mind to put it on. But I absolutely will. I really do love it. In fact, coming up with an MVP track for this is definitely the hardest decision I've had to make. I was hoping we were going to do one last week and one this week, but... So it's going to be a last second decision.
I was hoping JD would forget the question this time.
Yeah. I've got it written down so I don't forget. My memory is so piss poor.
Write it on your hand.
I call it a format sheet, but for real, it's cheating. Craig, we're going to stick with you. And we're going
to
go to
MVP. I want to know what they say first. To clarify, is this my absolute favorite track, or is this the track that I want to put onto a mixtape?
Ooh.
It can be, that can be your interpretation. Okay. It's the most valuable player. It's the, you know.
So I had so many. I mean, my first instinct was a natural, but I think I'm going to have to go with Snowflake.
Oh, God, it's so good.
It is such a powerful song to me. Wow. And I love the chorus. I love the way, that big reverb sound. And it's just a really... gorgeous song and takes me, you know, visually takes me somewhere.
Great choice. We could definitely overuse the word gorgeous on this record because there's so much gorgeousity on it, you know?
Nice.
There is that.
Right?
There is that.
Kirk.
Yeah.
MVP?
Thinking about us, man.
Good call.
That tune, just thinking about us. It's thinking about us. That's all I need to say.
You didn't have to hesitate all. Wow. Nope. No. Justin, how are you going to react to the question? Craig was very concerned and didn't want to say anything. Kirk was very resolute and just put a flag in her. And Justin, where are you on this one? I've given you some time to think, so it's not really fair.
Well, I don't need time to think. I just don't have an answer. you know, I've been thinking about this since the first listen because I knew that this was coming. I do have an answer, but I'll tell you the picks that I had. Wolf's Home, because it makes me think of my dad. Bedtime, because of just the connection with my daughter and when this song or when this record came out. I love Introduce Yourself for the reasons that we talked about. It's a great song about your buddy and, you know, get me out of another jam, please. You know, there was some interview that Gord did that he told Billy Ray, he goes, something happened with a guitar and he goes, I will literally blow you if you fix this. I love, Spoon, that song Spoon, because I really like the band, but I also like the story of going to the show with a kid, but I'm going to go with Love Over Money. because that's why we're all here in the first place. Yeah. Right.
Good job, Justin.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What a bow you put in it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that brings us to the end of Introduce Yourself. I'm going to use the word again. What a gorgeous piece of work. And so memorable and so thoughtful. And this is the last stuff he recorded. It's really quite heavy. And we're sorry if we brought you down a little bit with these last two episodes. But trust us, we're celebrating this music. We're not mourning. We are celebrating.
And JD, I want to thank you one more time for bringing me on board for this project, because this is the album that I told you right from the start has been sitting on my shelf, and I wanted to listen to it. It's been staring at me for years and I just couldn't do it. And I think maybe just having, you guys along with the ride makes it, easier to do.
Thank you very much. Thank you for doing it.
I 100%. Thank you. I didn't know about any other records that Gord had done, but I knew about this one and I was choosing to not listen to it. I wanted nothing to do with it. I got to be honest with you. I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's behind us. I listened to this album in its entirety, probably 25 to 30 times.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot. And the last week or so leading up to recording this, I stopped listening completely. I had to stop. It was just killing me. And I started listening to some of the older hip stuff, and I started listening to some Sadie stuff, and I listened to Conquering Sun quite a bit. But I had to get away from the heaviness and go back to being a fan, because this was a hard one.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
completely agree. Well, on behalf of Craig and Justin and Kirk, it's me, JD, and we're saying goodbye for another week. We'll be back. We've just got a couple episodes left, fellas. We've got Away Is Mine, and we've got Lustre Parfait, and then we've got the finale. And I'm getting excited about that.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be a good time.
I got it. We got to give a shout out to our social media following. You guys are really starting to step up and kick ass lately, and it's really re-energized all of us a lot. Our group chat has been on fire the last several days as we record this, because we're just like, oh, did you see this one? Did you see the message there? Did you see the email? Oh my God. We're obsessing over the rankings, and it's great. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, it was so crazy too, to get some of the official account of these people that we were talking about are sharing some of the links and stuff to some of these episodes, and we're getting just some great, amazing comments, through the,
right,
you guys mentioned social media, Instagram, Facebook, and I don't think any of us had that on our bingo cards when we woke up in the morning,
I didn't.
Right. Crazy. And the Sadies messaged you back today, Craig, that's cool. And
holy shit.
And JD's putting in the legwork tenfold over what we're doing,
just
listening. He's throwing everything together and doing interviews and making all this happen. And it's I don't know if any of us are getting rich off this, but
not fucking me.
JD is certainly reaping the benefits of, I think a lot of people are appreciating what you're doing, and I know we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
it's a group effort, guys. It's a group effort, man. All right, folks. Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to Discovering Downey. To find out more about the show and its host, visit discoveringdowney.com. You can email us at discoveringdowney@gmail.com. And hey, we're social. Check us out at Gord Downey Pod.
Podcasts and such.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.